And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
What's up, RBLR Nation? Everyone's doing well. Sorry for that sudden little burst. My goodness, I had to adjust to my chair. But if you were expecting the Zach and Pat attack, sorry about that. You're getting Carter and Remy. I don't know what nickname we could come up with for our dynamic duo. This is only the second time we've been on this show, but we'll come up with something. We'll definitely have to think about it. We'll workshop some nicknames. But regardless, we appreciate y'all tuning in to another great RBLR Rays show. We've got some great content. We may or may not have a special guest in the second half of this show, and it'll be a surprise. You know, we like to keep our listeners on the edge of their seats. So definitely tune in for that. But before we go any further, I'd love for y'all to hit that like and subscribe button if you're liking what you hear. Even if you don't like what you hear and you're looking for Zach and Pat, they'll be back. So you can still hit that like and subscribe button, and they'll be back eventually. And definitely give us a follow at RBLR Sports as well. But before I go any further, I want to introduce my wonderful co-host, Remy. Say what's up to the people, Remy.
How's it going? You know, it's Super Bowl Sunday. We got to get locked in and hopefully have some sort of halftime performance right here.
Right, for sure. Forget Usher. It's all about two pasty white guys just talking about baseball. That's what the people want to see in the halftime show. So, you know, definitely hyped for the Super Bowl. Who's your Super Bowl pick?
You know, I have to say, from California, so got to be Niners, right?
Really?
Niners and what they've done. So definitely Niners right here. What about you?
For sure. I got to go Kansas City. I want the Niners to win. Don't get me wrong. Don't get it twisted. But unfortunately, it's Patty Mahomes. I feel like the refs are going to come out swinging with the calls and the holding penalties and this, that, and the other. So, you know, I'm a big conspiracy guy when it comes to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. So, yeah, I'm unfortunately going Kansas City. But, hey, if San Francisco wins, bless up. It means that we can say that Patrick Mahomes lost to a Mr. Irrelevant quarterback, which is just – beautiful for my Patrick Mahomes slander. But anyways, we'll get to some Rays stuff, because this week pitchers and catchers report. You know, it's super exciting. We're inching ever closer to opening day and spring training. You know, that's for me, living in Florida, I know you're over on the West Coast, but living in Florida, spring training's just as exciting as the regular season, because, you know, you got Sarasota with the Orioles, you got Lakeland with the Tigers. There's a bunch of teams down here. So I'm really excited. But are you going to make the trek out to Arizona for any spring training games, you think?
No, if I had the time, I absolutely would. I remember that there's the Angels complex is in Phoenix. I used to visit Phoenix a little bit when I was younger. So just good memories out there. I would love to go back. But, you know, just going to Florida, like, I would love to see, like, the Rays play their spring training, or, as you said, Sarasota or Lakeland, just going out there and watching Tigers play, Tampa Tarpons, whatever, just getting spring ready. But are you going to go see any games, or are you just chilling for this week?
Oh, no, yeah, I got tickets to the opening spring training game against Atlanta. Me and my cousins, they're going to be in town. It's going to be a great time. I'm really excited. Yeah, I'm a big spring training guy. I try to hit, like, Lakeland, Bradenton, Sarasota, just because, like, it's within driving distance and, you know, you get to see some different teams. And those are all – they're all gorgeous complexes. There's not really a bad place to watch a spring training game in the state of Florida. So I'm pretty hype about that. But anyways, more Ray-centric stuff. There was a little athletic piece where they gave a bunch of grades to different teams for their offseason, since it's starting to come to a close, even though – the two most important free agents are still unsigned. So I don't know how you can really give grades to any team, but anyways, they gave the Rays a D. Okay. You know, it doesn't really matter, because teams that win the offseason, if you like, the Padres won the offseason last season and we saw how that turned out. So, you know, I don't know how you can take whatever stock you want, but what grade would you give the Rays for this offseason?
I gave them a B.
Okay.
And the reason why was, you know, they traded Glasnow and Margot, and these are both guys who are valuable contributors. Glasnow is definitely the highest performer in the trade that they had.
For sure.
But also, it's good to remember that they got younger, right? Dodgers got the proven talent. The Rays got younger. They got DeLuca as well as Pepiot. And those guys are going to be very valuable down the stretch. You know, they have control, years of control left. And the Rays did a couple of other minor moves, right? Luke Raley and Jose Caballero. And that's just to reinforce the shortstop depth because of the Wander Franco incident. I'm just kind of curious what you think about it as well.
Yeah, I'd probably give them a B+. I'm not going to lie. I was pretty down about the Glasnow trade just because, like, he was a cool dude, seemed like a nice guy. But, at the same time, you know, his injuries, like his elbow, like how many innings are you really going to get out of him? So I get it, but he was a cool dude. He looked like Cillian Murphy, like all the memes, you know, like it was so fun to watch him pitch. And he wanted to be in Tampa, which as a guy who grew up in Tampa my whole life, like that doesn't happen very often. You know, you don't get too many people bragging about the city of Tampa. They're kind of the butt of most jokes. So it was kind of tough to see him leave, but I also love the return. You know, I feel like they got a pretty, you know, initially I was kind of emotional about it, but looking back, it's a great return. And I love the Palacios deal. I loved getting Caballero. And then Phil Maton, that was like the cherry on top. That was what sealed this being actually a really good offseason. I don't know where the Athletics coming from with this D grade. I know they're, you know, they're national people, so they don't get that the Rays are just going to be competitive every year no matter what. But, you know, that's okay. They'll learn eventually, or if they don't, they'll just be behind. That's all right. So, yeah, I thought it was kind of an interesting little thought exercise that we could do, even though the offseason still technically isn't over yet, but whatever. There's also the, you know, we're coming up on spring training, and there's kind of a lot of players that could be poised for breakouts. Is there anyone that you're looking at that you're like, oh, man, this guy could have a really good 2024?
Of course, yeah. I was going to say, specifically in the position player side, I really like Aranda. And, you know, just moving Rayleigh around, I think he's going to have a real shot at the DH, 1B, you know, maybe outfield, second base spot. But he's just a quality left-handed hitter. And I think that often that's forgotten about because it hasn't transferred at the major league level yet. Mm-hmm. But I think he's going to have a Paredes-like breakout. Not that he is a similar player to Paredes. They have completely different skill sets. Right, like Aranda's definitely not as great with contact quality as well as pull side power. That's a Paredes thing, as well as hitting high velo. But importantly, Aranda is just he has got great plate discipline and he's got quality at bat. So he's just a really, I'd say, professional hitter, if I had to label him professional hitter, and hopefully he takes that next step forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Aranda's tough. You know, he feels like he kind of comes up and he struggles and then he kind of gets sent down. And then he hits really well, and it's kind of a tough cycle that hopefully he'll break this season. Hopefully he'll be given a little bit more chances. It's tough with the positioning. You know, you don't know where to put him, so the DH spot is kind of a fun one because then you don't have to worry about his glove because, man, he can look rough sometimes out there defensively. But, you know, with the bat, yeah, absolutely fantastic. I'd love to see what he can do given more consistent plate appearances. But my pick is going to be Rene Pinto. I know he's a favorite of the show. He's a favorite of our guests that we're going to have later on, and rightfully so. You know, he's a great framer. He does all the little things that catchers need to do to be successful, but I'm going to make a bold claim and say that he's going to make the All-Star team this year. I think he's going to have huge power numbers in the context of the catching position. I think he'll hit a lot of home runs. So I think that he'll have enough, like, eye-popping statistics that they'll bring him into the All-Star team. And otherwise, like, even if he doesn't, he'll still be a great catcher. But I'm making the bold claim, like my hot take, I guess you could say, that he's going to hit for a lot of power. And I'm really excited to see what he can do, just given a full season of kind of being the starting catcher on a major league team. So I'm pretty excited about Pinto and Aranda. I think both of those guys are definitely primed for some breakout seasons. But going back to the Glasnow trade, I know we talked about it a little bit earlier. What are your thoughts on the Rays starting pitching staff going into the season after they dealt him? Did they do enough to replace his elite level, if not plentiful inning total?
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I was going to say, I think that they still have a very strong five-man rotation, and they've got some bull guys coming up in the bullpen. I know Waggy's back. They're going to kind of stretch him out to be more of a starter role or, you know, whatever, bull guy. If Davinsky, who might be bulk, as well as Tyler Alexander, Sean Armstrong, too, he's just a Swiss Army knife, right? Very versatile. So I think that maybe they won't have the same quality of innings pitch where Glasnow, right, when he's on, he's top 10, top 15 starter in baseball. But they definitely have more depth, right? Like, they're not going to get as injured, or the Glasnow, because he's so tall, there's also, like, concerns of – or injury concerns, higher likelihood sometimes of guys getting injured. But now you have guys like Zach Littell and Zach Eflin, just tons of guys who are going to fill innings. They might not be the same, but still going to fill a lot of innings.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. Like you said, I love the way that you talked about the elite inning total. Like, maybe it won't be as high quality, but it's going to be – they have so much depth, bringing in Uwasawa as well as Alexander, and then stretching out Davinsky is going to be great. And I think that, you know, going into the offseason, as soon as that Glasnow trade happened, it was like, oh, shoot, like this is a one of their top-fledged starters. Like, what are they going to do? And then as the offseason moved along, they did what the Rays always do. And, you know, one of these days I'll learn not to be so emotional and overreact to these kind of things. But that obviously this year wasn't it. But, yeah, they just slowly but surely added. And, yeah, I'm with you. I think that they did a great job of just sort of retooling this pitching rotation. And, you know, nowadays it feels like you have to be at least 8 or 9 starting pitchers deep just because injuries unfortunately happen so often across the board in baseball. And the Rays certainly have that. They certainly have that depth at this point with Baz, Bradley, and all those names. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think they did a really great job. But staying on the pitching side of things, let's focus on the bullpen because, my goodness, I mean, they already were really strong in this area. Obviously, losing Bob Stevenson and Jake Diekman, not super fun, but at the same time, they still have a ridiculous bullpen. And I'd make the assertion that it's the best bullpen in baseball. Would you agree?
I think they're very good, probably top three. And, I mean, we'll see what other signings that they have on the minor league side or maybe a trade or two happen. I really like the Mariners bullpen, and we'll get to that later in the show. Just the looks and stuff that they have. They trade for Gregory Santos. They have Colin Snyder. They have a ton of waiver claims that are just very unique. The Rays are still very good. You know, you have Pete Fairbanks, as I said before, Sean Armstrong, Tyler Alexander, who knows what they're going to do with them, Kevin Kelly. And then you also have rehabbing Colby White and Evan Reifert, who are going to come up. But let's talk about Phil Maton, right? He's a supinator, so he's going to cut the ball, but that really applies to his strengths. He throws a ton of breaking balls, ton of spin, gets a lot of weak contact as well as whiff. So he's really interesting, and he definitely makes a good bullpen a lot better.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, like you said, it was already a good bullpen, and now it's even better because they got Phil Maton, who he was a really, really good reliever last year, one of the best in baseball, and he doesn't throw like 98. You know, he's very focused on his stuff and his command, and it's really fun. It's going to be really fun to watch him take what was already a really high floor and even just continue to expand, you know, because the Rays are always going to produce good pitching talent, but they seem to do it on the margins. So now they're doing it with a guy who's like already really good. So it's like, oh, well, shoot, now the Rays are going to make him have like a sub-1 ERA season or something insane. So I'm really excited to see how this plays out. I love
it. Really quickly, I was going to say, he reminds me a lot of Colin McHugh, right? Former Astros guy, tons of spin. He's just going to just death by breaking balls. He's going to throw 3 or 4 or 5 sweepers, you know, in at bat, and he's just going to leverage that. And, you know, Colin McHugh, he recently retired, unfortunately, but just props to him and what he was able to do here. And hopefully Phil Maton can be even better than Colin McHugh.
Absolutely. Yeah, McHugh was really fun to watch. Just all those turns, you know, all those freaking sweepers just constantly just sweep. Yeah, it was a beautiful thing to watch McHugh pitch. And, yeah, I have no doubt Maton can do kind of the same thing in a Rays uniform. But obviously we've been talking a lot about the positives that the Rays have, which there are plenty. But are there any concerns that you maybe have for them going into this season?
Honestly, I would have to say that two of my biggest concerns, the first one is staying healthy. That's just due to the amount of injured pitchers that they had last year, right? Glasnow. I think every starter spent time on the injury list. Obviously, with Rasmussen and Springs and McClanahan, they suffered UCL injuries. Mm-hmm. But Glasnow, he suffered an oblique injury. Eflin, they had to manage his knees. Littell, I think, had some sort of odd hamstring. Like, it was like a phantom injury, though. That's why, you know, they stretch him out. But it's really just a concern about injuries. And then the second one would be remaining consistent, which I think that they have done, but just really reinforcing that. It's, you know, they had a super high win first month. I think it was, April. And then in July, they just kind of fell apart. And it's like, how do you get rid of the highs and lows of the season, really focus on that consistency? What are your concerns?
Yeah, I mean, definitely the consistency and the health is probably the two biggest things. But, obviously the shortstop position, just getting that solidified as soon as Walls gets healthy. And health in general is always going to play a huge role. It's tough because, you know, they certainly were the highs and lows, but that's also a baseball season. So it's hard to keep that in mind, though, when you're in the middle of July dealing with, you know, a 5-15 stretch or whatever brutal run it was on. It's it's going to be a lot of fun. There are a lot of really good teams in baseball, so obviously the parity level is pretty good. So the Rays are definitely going to experience those waves, and it's just about, like you said, managing the consistency and trying to not to lose the forest to the trees. My AP World History teacher would always say that, and great I never quote. Right. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those, like, you know, one of those things. Keep in mind, try to keep it in the broader context. But yeah, so that's, we were going really positive. So I wanted to throw in a little bit of a, hey, like, there's still some things to worry about. But spring training obviously starting this week. Is there anyone that you're looking forward to seeing the most when it starts up this week?
Yeah, I would say for me, starting pitching wise, I'd have to go with Shane Boz. Haven't really seen much from him, right? He was rehabbing from an elbow injury. I think he suffered either last offseason or at the end of 2022. He's got phenomenal stuff, right? Multiple comparisons drawn to Jacob DeGrom in the fastball and slider combination, elite velocity. He's also the player to be named later in that Glasnow trade, right? That infamous Glasnow trade.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just interesting to see it keep on giving. Is there a starting pitcher that you're looking into, CB?
Yeah, definitely Taj Bradley. I mean, Bradley and Boz, like the double Bs, they're going to be hopefully really great for years to come. Obviously Bradley was really up and down last year, but he's young. He was a rookie. Like not everyone's just going to be clicking right off the jump. So I'm really excited to see if he can kind of bounce back. Like Shane McClanahan had that 2020 season where he kind of got a cup of coffee, got a little bit of postseason action. And then he came back in 2021 and was nails. Obviously it's different situations, different pitchers, but I'm hoping to see kind of a good sophomore surgence instead of a sophomore slump for Taj Bradley. So I'm really excited about him. But how about the hitting side? Is there anyone you're looking at there?
So I think both of us are fascinated by the trades they made this offseason. Honestly, Richie Palacios, right? He's got good plate discipline, very low whiff and strikeout, and I think 100 plate appearances last year. He's increased his max exit velo a lot this offseason. I think it went from 107 to 114 miles per hour, which is pretty significant. He's very athletic. Not the best defender, right? He's kind of below average, kind of around average. So let's see what happens in terms of improving his defense. But what happens when the Rays acquire St. Louis Cardinals outfielders, right?
I know.
Who's the last guy? They're pretty good track record-wise, so let's see what else they can do.
That's right. And similar to, like, Randy kind of had a bit of a similar profile. Like, Randy coming up wasn't, like, a super, like strong guy. Then he, you know, the COVID year happened and he did a bunch of push-ups and sit-ups. That's right. Or he ate a bunch of, you know, was eating rice and beans every day to build up his protein. And now he's hitting, you know, 20, 30 home runs a year. So, yeah, maybe Palacios will be the left-handed Randy. That would be a beautiful thing. That'd be excellent. Yeah, I loved the Palacios pickup. And like you said, the other trade that the Rays made was for Jose Caballero. I just think he's kind of an irritant. He managed to piss off Garrett Cole enough into, like, throwing above his head, which if you're pissing off Yankees people, then, you know, you're a friend of mine. You know what I mean? So I'm a huge Caballero guy. I don't know. I have a vision of him, like, playing well enough to start the year where he maybe earns that shortstop spot. Obviously, Wall's a tremendous defender, and he'll get every chance possible to earn that starting spot back. But, I don't know. I'm a really big, really, really big Caballero guy. Hopefully, he can become a really big on-base guy because he has such elite speed that maybe he can take advantage of it, especially with the new rules, you know, the pickoffs and the bigger bases. I think a lot of teams are only scratching the surface of the potential the potential value they can take on the base paths. So I'm really excited to see how he continues that journey. Definitely some great bats and some great arms. But there are some question marks kind of on the fringe of the rosters. Are there any dark horses that you're looking at that once they break camp, they can, you know, manage a roster spot to start the season?
I took a look at a couple of these guys, and I mean, let me know who you think as well. I want to see Uwasawa and Erasmo because the Rays kind of have that question mark of who's going to be our fifth starter, right? Is it going to be Taj Bradley? Is it going to be Tyler Alexander? Who's it going to be? But I think Uwasawa, if he has a chance to prove himself quickly, he can make an impact at the major league level very soon, sooner than expected. And Erasmo, we all know what we get from him, right? Solid command. He's got elite walk rate. He's got a pretty interesting pitch mix. So if we could see maybe more of the sweeping slider, or if he can distinguish those fastball and cutter shapes, I think he could be pretty solid. Who are some arms or maybe some other players that you think could be valuable? Yeah.
I mean, definitely Uwasawa. I'm a huge Uwa guy. I feel like he's going to be great. I just love the command and the fill specialist, and he's definitely one of those command guys. Because when I was playing, I didn't throw hard, and I really didn't command my stuff either. But, you know, I still, you know, it's still kind of fun to watch guys go out there and use that kind of skill set. And then I'm a really big Greg Jones guy, switch hitter up the middle, can play short or center. I'm hoping that he can maybe earn himself a roster spot. It seems like his performance is so volatile. But, you know, it's gonna be tough. He's uber athletic. He can play some good outfield, but it's all about the bat. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. So, yeah, we'll see how all these guys come out and perform in spring training. You know, we're just going to have to wait and see. A lot of these guys are definitely fringe roster guys, and we're not really sure what to expect from them. But, yeah, Erasmo is a great one. But another name that I wanted to talk about, Brendan McKay. What are your thoughts on him and his, you know, because I loved his two-way ability, but my goodness, yeah, he can't shake it as a hitter, unfortunately.
No, you're right. Brendan McKay, I mean, right, number 4th overall pick from Louisville in 17. He's just been injured for a while. It's really difficult. And I think that definitely stems from him being both a hitter and a pitcher, right? Two-way player. I've heard some things about injury management was really hard for him, or just workload management, both of them. But I've heard he's going to be a shorter inning guy, a shorter outing, really just focusing on pitching at this point. Not too much certainty on his future. But, I mean, from his arsenal, from when he was healthy, he's got a fastball, pretty good carry. Got that curveball, got a little cutter that's kind of like gyro slider shape, and a good changeup. So if we can, I don't know, if they can recover anything out of him, if he's able to attack both hands and be a valuable high leverage reliever, then, you know, he could be recovering the career of a guy who's number 4 overall pick. What do you think about him?
Yeah, I mean, I would love it. You know, everyone loves a good comeback story. It'd be great to see him kind of bounce back, because at one point I think he was just non-tendered by the Rays, and then they brought him back on a minor league deal. And that's a tough fall off for a guy that was a first round pick. Obviously, it happens fairly often in baseball. I'm certainly not criticizing either him or the Rays, but it'd be really great to see him kind of come all the way back and make a, you know, earn himself a roster spot, especially because the Rays are a bit light on, you know, left-handed relievers. You know, they got Poche, they got Clevinger, and they got Alexander, obviously. But it's always, you know, you never have enough pitching. And it's nice to have a little bit of a diverse skill set. And McKay would certainly provide that. And I'm really excited to see if he can kind of bounce back. But another thing that I'm really excited about is the Rays shop that we have, the RBLR shop. We got some really great Rays gear, you know, acquire, develop, dominate, repeat. Definitely got some great shirts on there, as well as the player to be named later. We're talking about Shane Baz, the player to be named later, and that Chris Archer, you know, the Pirates deal. And now look at him. You know, he's one of the elite well, you know, not a prospect anymore, but he certainly could be one of the elite pitchers in baseball for years to come. So definitely check out our shop at shop.rblrsports.com. We'll give you a promo code as well, Flappy, FLAPPY. Type that bad boy in, get 10% off your whole order, just to celebrate the fact that spring training is about to start. So, you know, definitely check it out and, you know, get yourself some fire gear to celebrate the start of baseball season. It's getting back into things. So before we get into our second half of the segment, you know, we're going to be talking about mostly a bigger picture kind of look at the rest of the league, you know, the rest of MLB, especially the division, because, you know, this was a big offseason for the Orioles, the Red Sox, the Blue Jays. You know, they made some big moves. Obviously, some cases they didn't make any moves, and it was kind of disappointing to see. So for our second half, we're going to have our guest, Ben Whitelaw. He's a friend of the show. You know, I don't really need to introduce him. Ben, how you doing, man? How are you feeling on this Super Bowl Sunday?
I think you're muted.
Yeah, I think you're muted, big dog.
I am muted. That's why I'm like,
here we go.
Great. There we go.
There All you right. go. How you doing, Ben?
No, I'm good. How's it going, guys?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful. You're on the show, man. It's awesome. Hell yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah, we're excited to talk some baseball.
It's been a while.
For sure. Yeah, it's been a minute, but, you know, we're getting the gang back together. We're always talking on Discord and stuff, so it's good to finally have our formal or informal conversations become formalized. So I'll kick things off. We'll talk about the division first, you know, because, you know, that's the teams that the Rays play the most. So which team, in y'all's opinion, in the division improved the most this offseason? Ben, you can throw your hat in the ring first.
Lead us off.
What's that?
Yeah, the Yankees did a lot to add some quality depth at the margins of their roster. Obviously, they're going to be, you know, a really strong team with Aaron Judge, but now you put in Juan Soto batting ahead of him, like that's a pretty good 1-2 punch there. But I like the moves that they did to kind of shore up their depth with Verdugo. Who else did they add? Trent Grisham. He's a solid defender out there. So they're going to get a healthy Jose Trevino back. Austin Wells is going to hopefully, you know, stick around in the majors. He made his debut last year. He's a pretty solid catcher. They've just got a really solid lineup top to bottom. Volpe possibly taking a step forward. And then they've just got, you know, their veterans, DJ LeMahieu, Gleyber Torres, Anthony Rizzo. Like, it's a good team, and they added to their depth a lot. Rotation solid. They brought in Stroman to help with some of those innings. Bullpen, you know, the Yankees bullpen is always going to be really great. They do a really solid job up there with identifying and acquiring talent. I really wanted Scott Efros on the Rays a couple of years ago, and he's finally healthy in a Yankees uniform, and he's gonna he's basically like a Ryan Thompson type. He's really interesting. So yeah, the Yankees probably did the most to improve in the division. I don't know if they're necessarily the strongest team, but they definitely they improved quite a bit.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, they had a bit of a bummer of a season last year in the terms of, you know, Yankee standards, the Yankee way and all that nonsense. But it was kind of funny to watch the Brian Cashman kind of media scrum in the winter meetings. And we'll see if they actually do more bunting. I know that was a thing that Hal Steinbrenner talked about for whatever reason. I don't know what to make of all that stuff. But Remy, how about you, man? What team improved the most in the AL East this offseason?
Yeah, I was going to say very briefly on the Yankees, really like, you know, like their minor league signings. And as you said, like really just shoring up the depth on the roster, you know, bringing Nick Birdie as well as I think Loaisiga is healthy and they're getting all their guys back, right? Clay Holmes too. But speaking on a different team, I really like what the Orioles did, right? Like what Corbin Burns is. And I think CB, you're going to go into that in a second, but just they have a ton of prospects. They're young. They have money to spend. New owners, right? New owners. Got the lease on their ballpark, finalized. And they're very similar to the Rays and the Astros of the past, right? They have Mike Elias and I think Sid Mejdal leading them. And they're just – they look phenomenal, right? And they're just – they're going to compete. They've got great prospects, as I said before, and very, very low budget. So what do you think, CB?
Yeah, I mean, they're the new – they've got that Jeff Lundhau, you know, sauce or recipe that worked so well for the Astros in the late 2010s. Let's hope minus the cheating scandal. So that would, you know, that would be kind of nice if we could not have to talk about that. But yeah, I'm a huge Baltimore guy for this offseason. They were kind of quiet most of the offseason. They brought in Craig Kimbrel, which was a really nice signing because Bautista is going to be out the whole year with Tommy John. So yeah, I'm really excited to see how Baltimore moves forward because of the Burns deal. And they didn't really have to deal from, you know, obviously Hall is a really interesting lefty arm, and Ortiz is a really interesting middle infield prospect, but you got to give up value to get value. So they weren't going to get Burns for free. And I thought they did a good job of kind of mitigating that. And obviously Baltimore is a really big team to watch. And the Yankees too, you know, I hate the Yankees, you know, screw them, but yeah, they're going to be really good this season. Unfortunately, that's just how it is. I'm really excited to see how things shake out in the division, but on the opposite end of that, which team do y'all think improved the least? Remy, we'll start with you, man. What team kind of had the most to do and they didn't do a thing?
Yeah, I mean, maybe this is a bad opinion in that. Maybe I'm not informed enough, but I was going to say Toronto. I think they already have a good foundation, so they don't need to improve too much, but they didn't necessarily make, like, I don't know, like additions that I think would be beneficial for them. Mm-hmm. They brought in IKF, Justin Turner, and Uriel Rodriguez, who I think is going to be more of a bullpen arm. And they also, you know, promoted prospects like Addison Barger, Spencer Horowitz, Aurelvis Martinez, Bowden Francis. But they also lost Matt Chapman, Whit Merrifield, Jordan Hicks, Simber, Belt, and Reed. Like, these are valuable contributors to their team. So although they have a really good foundation, I think they're also kind of top-heavy too. And I know, they lost a lot of guys that made them special in the first place. What do you guys think?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you. Toronto was definitely a tough watch this offseason. Ben, how about you, man? What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, we still have quite a bit of time left for teams to sign players and all that and trade. So, but as of right now, the Red Sox, I mean, they've just They weren't very solid last year. They won what, like 78 games? 78 games. Just who did they add? Vaughn Grisham at the expense of Chris Sale. Like that was, and oh, they added Lucas Giolito too. But like that's it. Like Giolito, like that's your ace right now. So they really just didn't do much. I know they're still looking to, you know, add some things and there are rumors, but there are rumors for every team. So yeah, I think Red Sox fans are kind of just in a hurry up and wait kind of mode. It seems like they're not really focused on being competitive this year, and that's totally fine. From a fan of some other teams in this division, but
right.
They just, if they don't want to be competitive, whatever. I mean, I think they'll still sign someone or maybe a bat or two. I mean, it's really hard to say, but they have a solid offense. Like that offense is fine, but the pitching staff outside of Jensen and Martin is pretty interesting. I mean, Pivetta's cool. He's got some cool stuff, but that's more of like a baseball nerd's like favorite player. They don't really have like a real ace out there, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I like Brian Bello. He's pretty cool. He's got some good stuff. But yeah, the lineup's nice. But yeah, no, hopefully we don't have to hear Sweet Caroline too much other than, you know, the regular season. I'm with you. I'm glad the Red Sox are going to probably suck this year. They didn't do anything. And full throttle was the motto going into the offseason. And my goodness, if that's their definition of full throttle, then I don't know what to tell you. It's been a brutal offseason for Boston. Really excited to see them hopefully not be very good this year because, man, Red Sox fans are right down there with the Yankees fans. So, I'm pretty hyped to see them not be very good. But outside the division, obviously there were a lot, it was a big offseason for a lot of teams. And there were a lot of teams that made some huge signings, huge trades. What are some other teams that y'all think did well? Ben, I'll throw it right back at you. What are some outside of the division teams that you like to see?
Yeah, I mean, the Braves are going to continue to stay competitive. They're a really solid team. Like, they really didn't have to do much right. to be good because they're so good. We know the Dodgers had a huge offseason with all their money they're throwing around. But even they didn't have to do much either. Like, these playoff teams from last year, like, if you're a playoff team, like you're good. So, I mean the teams that are at like, you know, the fringes of the wild card that kind of sat on their hands, I think the fans of those teams are probably a little disappointed. Like the Twins, I feel like they didn't really do too much. Because that AL Central, pretty much every Central division is just up for grabs all the time. But I actually really like what the Royals have done this offseason. I think they've kind of jumped on the weakness in their division, I guess, in the AL Central there. We know they signed Bobby Witt Jr. to that long-term extension. They added some good pitchers on the free agent market. I mean, not good pitchers, but good enough pitchers in the free agent market. A full season of Cole Reagans is going to be interesting. I really liked him at the deadline last year. Added Nick Anderson to shore up their bullpen. Just a overall really solid offseason. And they were a team that wasn't good, so it seems like they kind of had to do a lot, but they have that good young core. Their farm system is not what it used to be because they've graduated a lot of those players, so their window is kind of now, even though they weren't that great last year. But I think they could be competitive in that Central division. I still like the Tigers more. I think the Tigers are going to take the AL Central, but the Royals could be a sneaky good wild card team this year, so I'm really interested in them.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I thought the Royals were a very underrated team this offseason. Brought in a lot of kind of mid-market guys to kind of supplement their young core. I think a whole season of Vinny P is going to be great. I think I'm a really big Vinny P guy just because, you know, Italian guys playing baseball are funny. But he's also a really good player. So, like, that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And Bobby Witt Jr. getting locked up to that extension, huge news. That's huge for them. I'm really excited to see the Royals. I was also a big Diamondbacks guy. I loved the Jock and the Erod signings. You know, Jock Peterson is going to be kind of DH for them, and Rodriguez is just going to be filthy in that rotation with Merrill Kelly and Zach Gallen. That's going to be really huge. They also brought back Lourdes Gurriel, and then they traded for Eugenio Suarez, and I'm a big Eugenio Suarez guy as well. Unfortunately, it replaces a Rays legend, Evan Longoria, at the third base position. But, you know, I do think at this point, Eugenio Suarez is a little bit better than Evan Longoria. But Remy, how about you, man? Who are some other teams that you really liked this offseason?
I'm kind of interested to see what the Mariners did. They did, like, more retooling, I would say, than, like, you know, significant upgrades. I really like the Royals pick, by the way. That makes, like, a ton of sense. And if things don't work out, they can trade, like, I think a decent amount of those guys, too. But very quickly, just touching on the Mariners, like, they had, you know, Teoscar Hernandez. He left in free agency. Eugenio Suarez, they traded him for Vargas and Zavala. Kelnick, they got rid of him. Robbie Ray, Caballero, these are guys who were going to be contributors. And they picked up Garver, Haniger, Rayleigh, Jorge Polanco, which I think is a very good move, and also Santos. Santos is an electric bullpen arm. Just really curious to see what they can do. And, again, they retooled, so they just moved around a couple of pieces, and they have a filthy bullpen. So Santos just emphasizing how good they'll be. And, I mean, especially with Jorge Polanco, too. I think that fulfills their second base need, which they've kind of been trying to address for a couple of years with Colton Wong, among other guys, and it just hasn't worked out, and hopefully it will.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big Jorge Polanco fan. He's a switch hitter, and he's just a really, really tremendous hitter up the infield, up the middle. So, yeah, I'm really excited about that. I was a little bit bummed to see them give up on Kelnick. I thought he took a bit of a step forward last year at the beginning, but then, you know, he kind of regressed a little bit, obviously, as the season went on. So, yeah, I'm really interested to see how the Mariners move forward. So, yeah, we'll just have to see with a lot of these teams, but they've had some really interesting off seasons for sure. But speaking of, you know, Ben mentioned it earlier, there's still free agents to be signed, trades to be made, and arguably the two most important free agents, well, other than Ohtani and Yamamoto. So I guess the third and fourth place free agency, Snellinger. It's you've heard of Barbenheimer. Now get ready for Snellinger. It's Blake Snell and Cody Bellinger. Those two guys are still free agents. So do y'all expect either of them to go anywhere in the AL East or maybe elsewhere? Remy, I'll throw it back to you, man. Where do you expect Snellinger to sign?
Good question, because I don't know for certain, right? Like, free agency is very strange. Maybe I could see Snell maybe going to, like, the Orioles or the Jays in terms of in the division. I heard the Yankees rumors, but I don't really know if New York's willing to shell out money like that at this point. Orioles, I think that'd be really good. Just shores up their staff, like, right? And they have the new owners. Maybe they'll spend a little bit more money. And he would just be a good leader for that staff. And they have quality pitch design, too. So they would definitely get him in the right direction. In terms of Bellinger, could see Toronto, even though they re-signed Kiermaier, maybe just to have another center fielder. Or this is outside of the division, but likely going to the Cubs because they do need him back in that spot. So don't really know exactly, but some clues here and there.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think Bellinger has a spot in the division. Snell, yeah, I love the Snell to the Orioles pick. Although who knows, he's a bit, you know, who knows with him. It's Blake Snell. He's kind of a funny dude. He seems to do things his own way, which I dig. You know, I miss him. I loved him in his Rays tenure. He was filthy out there. Ben, how about you, man? Do you expect Snellinger to come to the AL East?
It depends. I mean, teams are kind of the roster spots are really tight. We know the minor league roster rules have condensed a bit, so roster spots are more valuable. Teams are a little bit more hesitant to move prospects or DFA guys or whatever. But once camp opens up, then teams can start putting players on the 60-day IL, so they'll open up some roster spots that way. And then I'm sure, you know, once that happens, then more free agents are going to sign. Like with the Rays with Maton, they haven't officially announced the deal because they don't have a 40-man spot. So are they just going to wait until they have a 40-man spot when they got to put like Springs, Rasmussen, McClanahan on the 60-day? I think Wander's going to get put on like the administrative leave thing or whatever it is. So that'll open up a few roster spots. But yeah, it's kind of like a wait and see mode. I think it's a pretty smart move from both Snell and Bellinger to kind of wait things out, because if a team's, you know, if a team loses a starting pitcher in like the second week of spring training, then they kind of have to pay Blake Snell whatever he wants. So, you know,
value just increases.
Yeah. So he's, you know, in shape. He's just waiting for a team to have a spot for him. Same thing with Bellinger, but to a lesser extent. Like, you know, starting pitching has been so valuable this offseason. So I think Snell's going to get paid. And if a team, you know, without much starting pitching depth gets an injury early on, he's going to get paid a lot. So they'll sign eventually. But the longer they have to wait, it's, you know, it's probably frustrating for them, but their value just keeps going up because, you know, something's got to give, whether it's a roster spot or an injury or a combination. So it should be interesting. I don't think either will end up in the division, but, you know, injuries can happen to anybody. So we'll see.
Yeah. I mean, I remember a while ago, it was the Harper and Machado combo that took a really long time to sign. At least it seemed like at the time. And yeah, it's kind of a similar situation. I'm with you. You know, you got to get paid. You know, it's looking out for numero uno, and I think Snell's definitely going to get his deal. He's gonna get some money for sure. Pitching's obviously always a premium, and this offseason is definitely no different. But Remy, I know you were mentioning before the show you'd like to see maybe some other things from the Rays side of things. Is there anything, you know, any MILB guys that you're looking at maybe for the Rays to sign?
Yeah, I mean, just very briefly, like, it really depends on them and what they're going to do. Obviously, with, like, the minor league rosters shrinking, that becomes exceptionally difficult in order to do a lot. But I would love to see, like, I don't know, like, if Eric Lauer or, you know, Syndergaard or Kaprielian, any of these guys, or maybe, like, Justin Dunn, Matthew Boyd, Brett Martin, these are guys who are just fringe. They can eat bulk, and they have either good command attributes or they have good stuff. So it really depends on what they want to do. I'm sure they're going to add someone, but we'll see who it will be.
Yeah, absolutely. There's still names out there, but like Ben mentioned earlier, the roster crunch is going to have to happen eventually once camp opens. So we'll definitely see how they proceed. But we're wrapping up our show here. We're, you know, we all got to go watch the Super Bowl. So we're going to hop off before the game starts, get some grub in, you know, help around the kitchen with some snacks. And by help, I mean, just, you know, eat off of the snacks as they're being cooked. But definitely, before we go, Ben, I really appreciate you hopping on with us, man. And definitely check out Ben's Substack. It's dope as hell. Definitely got to go check it out. Is there anything else you want to plug, Ben? Anything you got to mention other than that?
Yeah. I was sitting backstage while you were talking about the Rays the first half of the show, but they signed two massive contract extensions this week. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on those with Eric Neander, Kevin Cash. Like, that's, you know, keeping this going. Like, that's through 2028. Like, that's huge. They're ready to start off. I mean, not necessarily a new era of Rays baseball, but, you know, with that stadium coming, the renovated district in St. Pete. Like, yeah, what do you guys think about the team extending Cash and Neander?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it wasn't even, I mean, I hate to say this because it's an inappropriate thing to say, but it's not news. Like, it was like, oh, yeah, of course. Like, both of these guys are really good at their job. So, like, yeah, of course they're going to get extended. But, yeah, obviously super excited that they're going to stay with the team, no doubt about it. But it was kind of a no-brainer in my mind. It was kind of like, oh, okay, ho-hum. Like, they got extended, yeah, because they've been one of the better teams in baseball for the past forever. So, yeah, I was really excited to see it, obviously. But, like I said, just kind of unsurprising. I would have been more surprised if they didn't do this, you know. I'm really excited to see how the things move forward, like you mentioned with the stadium and all that. So yeah, I'm really excited to see how things progress. Remy, how about you, man?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, like, I would have kind of expected this to happen, but I think it really speaks to the culture in Tampa Bay, right? Like, they just really love these guys, and these guys love being there. And just with I think they promoted Ibach also to AGM as well. Like, they have a lot of trust in the vision of what they're going to do in the future. So I think it makes a lot of sense that it's long-term is great, because then they can't get poached as easily, I think. And I mean, it really speaks again, as I said, like, culture, they love it here. Why not extend them? You know, look at Glasnow. He loved it here. Why not extend him? So we'll see what happens. I think that they've got great vision for the future. It just depends.
Yeah. I mean, Cash is a local guy. He's a Tampa guy. Went to Gaither. You know, he actually got cut by my high school baseball coach. It was kind of funny. Trevor Hoffman, if he's listening to this, hey, thanks for listening to the podcast. But yeah, it was always funny to hear him talk about Kevin Cash. Now he's the manager of the Rays and he's getting extended. He's doing an amazing job. So yeah, I was really excited to see that. But I really appreciate our listeners tuning in. And Remy and Ben, thank you so much. Y'all make, you know, this is y'all the reason that people tune in. So I really appreciate y'all jumping on. And we'll let our listeners go and watch the football game. And we got to go watch football game too. So we really appreciate y'all. But before we go, definitely hit that like and subscribe button if you like what you heard. Or if you want to hear Pat and Zach next week, They'll be back. Also, give us a follow at RBLR Sports on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. But that'll be all for today and this week. As always, go Rays.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.